You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so as it's a Tuesday, it's time for the double-header dream team of David Shapiro from Sasum Securities and Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. The S&P has been up most of the day. Nick, I'll start with you on this one. The S&P futures have been up most of the day, maybe up nearly 0.5% at one point. But now I see S&P futures just very slightly in the red. Has there been some results out that has caused that slight turnaround?
No, I think it's just been that it's just this real sort of toing and froing, this tug of wars, the bulls and the bears, with, you know, 6 days to go to the elections, and you're seeing it play out. And we had that big shunt last night, and you know, you don't have a big move like that, the biggest one since I think September, without a little bit of follow through. They tried to get going this morning, they couldn't quite. And I just think the realization now that you know, this hope trade of a bailout, a stimulus package that they're going to try to push through for COVID relief, you know, that's pretty much a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. And on the back of that backdrop, and I think also, quite frankly, you know, ahead of some big tech earnings, you know, we had that disappointing news out of SAP yesterday, made me realize that even some of these tech companies are not immune to.
Hello.
Oh, he's gone. While he's reconnecting, David, I thought of you today because I saw a tweet. Was it tongue-in-cheek when you were having a go at Pete Fulhune because of Sasum?
Yes.
Oh, I thought so. Okay. But tell me the background to that, please.
So yesterday we interviewed Fleetwood Frobler, who came across well. He came across very well. He was in control, just an intellectual man, a very intelligent man. He painted the backdrop to what Sasol had done and why they had done it, and you know, at that stage and that. And he didn't defend himself, but really gave the facts. Look, he wasn't involved. He was involved in Germany, and he was brought. Or I think in Germany, or he's in European base. He was brought back to take control, and he didn't. You know, he still admitted that there were a lot of issues that, ahead of them. But he painted, you know, a picture of where they're going. They will never do any kind of any deals like that. Also, when we asked him about, you know, coal to liquid, coal to gas, those kind of, they reckon they'll never do a deal like that, and that's why they went for the chemical side. Now, obviously, saw an excess of supply coming on, and needed to diversify into the chemical side. And what they saw was cheap ethane that was coming out of fracking in America, which made a very cheap input costs, etc. So, you know, that was the thought behind it. We couldn't get into why it has gone from 8 or 9, you know, all the way up to where it is at the moment. And that. But Pitt, throughout the conversation, was saying, listen, Sasol from the year 2000, has not made a decent return on equity, you know. Yes. So they've screwed it up all along the way. In other words, all they've been doing is reducing the return on equity, and in other words, you know, beating up shareholder wealth. He was irresolute. You know, he wasn't going to hold back on that. So very, very just critical of what's happened to Sasol management for the last 20 years. So that's
I think
why,
also against that backdrop as well. I mean, Sasol, we're speaking about today. We can move on to the conversation where the share price is as we speak.
Yes.
But, I mean, there was a comment around the trading room today, and the general feeling that people over the last sort of year or two have ignored and David can dive in here, you know, they've ignored the importance of what's known as ECG, which is Environmental, Social and Governance Overview, and how important it is starting to play in big carbon emitters like a Sasol, which is second to Eskom, for one of the dirtiest products. I mean, that you say they're moving more and more to ethanol, I mean, to chemicals. Yeah. But that gas to liquids process of developing it is extremely, extremely dirty and carbon emitter. And
they
They
said 10% what by the next, I don't know how many years. I can't remember what he said, but it's a long time just to get it down by 10%.
It is a very, and I think, you know, we talk about the likes of these, the Norwegian pension funds, you know, sitting with $1 trillion and plowing into things like Solar Edge and certainly these wind turbines, Vestas, you know, a few of these names up in Denmark, a few places like that. Sasol's so far down the list. I think a massive part of their shareholder base doesn't get involved with anymore. And I just got the feeling we were slow. I mean, I'm talking about ourselves as well. We were slow to come to the party over the last year or two and realize that that allocation of funds and money is moving away. And I'm sure it has a certain – I don't know what the numbers are, but it's got to have a detrimental effect on the share price.
Where is the share price, please, Nick?
Okay, so the share price has just closed down. Hold on a second, on my screen now. You don't even want to hear this. It just closed down 10.35% to 92 Rand.
What price?
92 Rand.
Yeah. Oh, it was 93.50 when you tweeted, David. So, again, is this the hedge fund story, the rights issue? Nick, you think that's still in play, do you?
All of the above.
Lindsay, you know, I'm just looking right across the – first of all, right across the board today, we had a massive sell-off, and particularly in commodities. And it's funny, as I was tweeting that, Jeff Curry came on to Bloomberg's, and Jeff Curry is head of commodities at Goldman Sachs, talking about the outlook for commodities, which was bullish. I thought, yeah, wow, the kiss of death. Right. You know, as soon as Goldman get bullish –
They've loaded up or they've done something, then they wheel someone out to be their spokesperson. I know the scene.
But right across the board. And what also I want to pick up, you know, and Lindsay, you're going to attack me on this one.
No, I'm not.
Or criticize it. I looked at the gold index today because gold shares came under quite a bit of pressure.
Yes.
And over the year, the gold index, and we're talking about the JSE gold index.
Right.
Now, you must also recall that you have a 20% or 15-odd% depreciation in the rand. So the gold index ran up 130% to the 1st of August, from the 1st of January. Subsequent to that, there's actually been a massive sell-off, you know, over 30%, which still leaves it up 60% on the year, which we can't shout it, you know, or cry it. But still, the trend, the momentum seems to be building down. And, you know, on a quick and dirty reading of the chart, it looks like another 10%.
What do you mean, the gold shares or the gold price?
But gold shares. Okay.
Well, I mean,
I must distinguish that, yeah.
Yeah, Anglo Gold Ashanti, for example, was at some point this year north of 600 Rand. Mm. It closed today at 389 Rand.
Yeah.
Well, that's a substantial retracement.
Yeah.
Not to forget the fact that it's probably still up 100% of the year, whatever the number is. I mean, Goldfields as well. I mean, Goldfields, another one. I mean, this share is still up, I mean, 2.5% down today. It's still up 90% on the year, but it was close to 300 bucks. So there's been some significant, David's right, significant moves in these gold shares. I mean, they've been very volatile this year, no doubt about it.
I feel slightly disloyal, Nick, because on Monday when I was speaking to David, when was that, yesterday? Goodness me, it seems like a long week already. Yesterday, I initiated a trade on my IG account. I've gone long of gold. The physical gold at 1905. So I'm $5 in the red. But I just think it's been consolidating for quite a while. It's been orbiting 1900 for a while. And I do think that the next move will be to the upside, despite the fact what you've just said about the gold shares, which often lead the gold price lower, or that was the legend anyway. So look, I'm long of gold at 1905. There you go.
I just want to add the general the feel of the market today. I mean, David was speaking about it, a big sell-off. You know, we start on the all share, or the top 40, round about sort of 50,000, 150,000, thereabouts. Round about the 50,000 level as we came off the blocks at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
But it's just been a very, very steady selling, like literally grinding low the entire trading session. Didn't even pop up once and accelerated. I mean, at one point, we were literally flat on the day to start with. But, I mean, to sell off, you know, 1.5% by the close, it almost felt like the selling accelerated as we
as the day progressed. Me, Nick, and we didn't talk to you Thursday night. I think I don't know whether you were away or whatever.
No, about.
The last couple of days, there was a lot of activity. And, I mean, the big story last week was buy SA Inc.
Yes, here
buy
we go.
Buy SA Inc. I'm not being in a negative way. I'm just saying, you know, that was a strong story. And obviously it became quite infectious because whoever I spoke to said, you know, it's time to buy SA Inc. I said, hold on a second. Just take a cold shower. Don't be too quick. And not because I want to I wanted to go down or anything. I just thought that there was just too much enthusiasm in a very difficult, uncertain time. Mm. In other words, people were jumping the gun, a bit of a false start. And what happens is that with all that enthusiasm on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, Friday, etc., and all the big gains we saw, They were the bids up in insurers were like 10% gain in Liberty.
Friday was yeah. Absa was up 9.7% on Friday.
Yeah.
On no news. Okay. Absolutely okay. Nothing. Like, wow, what would move a large institution like that almost 10% on no news?
Well,
and I mean, look, I had a slightly different theory in that I feel that a few calls, and I think I'll chat to Lindsay about it, David, is that when Afrox got announced that it was being bought by Linden, delisted, and they're going to pay a 30 or 40% premium to the share price. I got a lot of commentary from people saying, "Oh, hang about, here's this German multinational, massive gas, seeing value in a South African share that's been beaten down, paying a massive premium to it. They see value in it. The South African shareholders don't, or the South African investors don't, because they're not buying it. So who's next?" And I think there was a lot of what we used to call in the UK was like carpet bagging. You just go and basically buy a lot of stocks you thought were going to be taken over or taken private, and you just sit and wait on them. And I wonder if there wasn't a bit of that too. But there was some decent volume. Thursday, I think 25 billion or 20 out of nowhere.
The problem.
That's what I think that was people are thinking. But of course, the reality sets in one day ahead of the medium term budget. You know, I don't think it's going to be pretty. And I think it's still a lot of hard work to do. As optimistic as we are, you know, this economy is not. We're so far down.
That's a point that I want to bring in. If everybody was so bullish and so wildly enthusiastic on Friday, Monday, Tuesday, they're not there. You know, what's happened?
But there's a real lack of buying, David. There's no. Yeah. So you get one day when it's probably just locals. I imagine a lot of it's local buying that have come in, but there's no foreign buying. That's what concerns me. The foreigners have been net sellers of bonds in our equities for a couple of weeks now. So it's just a small local market, and I think a lot of speculation in our market. Yeah. I don't know how much real asset management rejigging is happening with 2 months.
Nick, on Thursday, your stand-in, Gary Boyce, and we pointed out the impact story. And on that day, it was up, I think, to be precise, 15.45%. We were in this whole enthusiastic mode, or certain people were that I'd spoken to a couple of days previously were saying, buy SA, it's such good value. And then impact came to the fore, 15% plus up. And Gary Boyce, in his special way, just said, there were 65,000 shares traded today. That's 650,000 rand, Lindsay. Don't get too excited about it. It's up, and that's fantastic.
Right. I mean,
but it's tiny.
We've had some punters being involved in it today, for example, and I phoned up a client to speak to him, and I was quoting the double, and I had to like double check I had it right. It was 10 rand 40 bid, offered at 11 rand 68. Okay, that's a 10% spread.
Yeah.
In a mid-cap stock, this is when the JSE should be coming in the market, right? Because you need to tighten that double up a little bit. Yeah. But it also just shows you how illiquid current environment is, and you see it with the daily volumes in the JSE. It's very, very thin volumes at the moment. And as soon as you go out of the top 40, there's really like a real vacuum of liquidity.
Yes, there is. There's a few things on the Stock Exchange News Service today, bits and pieces, Nick, for the companies that the people are invested in may be of interest. But is there anything that you saw today that will warrant a mention in your morning meeting tomorrow? Not really.
No. In fact, the entire morning meeting is going to be waiting to see what this budget's going to do. I think we've got Wednesday is our ICT meeting, so we've got our banking specialist doing feedback tomorrow morning, so I can talk about the banks tomorrow. But in general, I think it's quite a lot of weight on this medium term budget. There's a lot of rumours doing the rounds, and I think we need some clarity. That's going to be a big one tomorrow.
Yes, it is indeed. Spot prices are as follows: the dollar rand is 16.15. By the way, also on my Tuesday trade, I've gone long of gold. I was stopped out of my rand position. I was short of the rand at 16.75, 16.76, and I looked for 50 cents. It went 50 cents better for me, but of course I withdrew my order like an idiot. I didn't stick to my guns, so I threw away 50 cents profit, and I lost 50 cents by being stopped out at 16.25. A lesson learned. British pound against the rand is 21.07, the euro rand is 19.09, and the euro dollar is 118.30, which is a slightly weaker US dollar, which has boosted the gold price, which since we started speaking has rallied to 19.07. So I'm making a small profit on that one because I'm long at 19.05. It's up $3 to 19.07. The platinum price is 8.87. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Getting a little bit back, $27 down, $2,337 per ounce.
Okay, the oil price, I'm just pressing my button here, having a look at that, because that's been really volatile.
Just got some just got some breaking news. David would like this one. We've got LVMH and Tiffany.
Oh, here we go.
Saying they're going to renegotiate their deal with a new price.
That's
in the range of $131 to $134 a share. It's quite a significant reduction.
Okay, more of that.
This was getting quite political at one point.
I think it's very good for LVMH.
So there we go. Heard it here first.
Or second, probably. West Texas is up 1.5% to $39.13. Brent crude oil is $40.90 a barrel, up 1.1%. Okay, what's been moving on the JSC today? Sasol is one of them. What else have you got there? David, I'll start with you on this one. What have you seen on your Sasol screen?
The worry is that we see miners coming under a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
the resource index down about 3.25%, but gold, platinum, and right across the board, and that's a worry. You know, that's directly attributed to the outbreaks that we've seen in the US, outbreaks in the UK, and certainly Europe, and concerns that this is going to have very negative effects on the global economy. So I think this is a demand factor. And in a big worry is that things are going to get a lot slower. So I think that's why commodities have taken such a knock. They need, you know, we need a strong global economy for commodities to prosper. And I think this is the other side. But you see, against that's why I'm a little concerned. You know, why gold and platinum and other precious haven't done anything. You know, yes. Why they would also come down, associate. You know. In line, and why people wouldn't be buying gold shares, which has been the way that they went in the early stages of the pandemic. So anyway, but
we need to stick it on the watch list as well. But copper's been an interesting one. So I mean, last week copper broke $7,000 a ton. I mean, it wasn't back there since I think the middle of 2018. It, I mean, it's quite an extraordinary. Cause, I mean, copper is supposedly one of those sort of leading indicators that, you know, the Dr. Copper story for those old market watchers, supposed to see what's happening. But apparently China going mad, buying everything that's coming out of the London Metal Exchange. I mean, copper's up 60% from the lows in March, which doesn't equate to – I mean, that's literally just China buying, because the rest of the world is not buying copper.
I just have to tell you my headline here, Lindsay.
Yes, go on.
Harley Davidson shares up 27.5%. I don't know, a turnaround.
One, who would buy one?
I love, you know why? Because I always recall in the 2008-2009 era where Warren Buffett lent money to Harley Davidson, who were needing some cash because of obviously pressure. And when asked why he would lend to Harley Davidson, and he said, any company that gets its customers to tattoo their logo on their chest can't be that bad.
Yeah, yeah, but they are noisy, and they are. But I can't say anything nasty because I'll probably have a Harley Davidson gang outside my apartment. Anyway, I've got on the upside today. Telkom up 3.75%. Process up 2.1%. Motus up nearly 2%, and Santam also nearly 2%. Now on the downside, the aforementioned Sasol down 10.3% to R92.08 per share. Hammerson down 6.5% nearly. Exxaro down 5.4%. Investec PLC down 5.25%. And Glencore down 5.1% as well. It's a really big move for a really big company, Glencore. Nick, anything outside of those that you've seen?
Yeah, I can just mention Naspers. Really solid day against the backdrop of a very, very weak market. Always bodes well. Tencent was up over 4.19% this morning. So it just, I think that bodes
well. That was on
well
the ruling of WeChat.
Yes,
you know,
correct.
That the judges have allowed, you know, are not going to stop. It closed on September the 20th. So this has been extended. So I think it was against
that. So correct. So, I mean, I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, David, I think 584 Hong Kong dollars a share, I think, is an all-time high. So I think it bodes quite well. And then what else did I see that's got my attention besides the process? I think that was it, really.
So can you imagine if we took Naspers and Prosus out of today of the index? Yeah. I don't know where it would have been. You know, almost 2%, or certainly closer to 2%.
You know, for me. I don't try to sort of complicate the sort of investing and the trading, you know, on a daily basis. And so I like to look at something like a Sasol, for example. Yeah. You look at the oil price, you look at the national gas price, you look at ethane prices are, you look at the rand dollar is, and I see a I see a West Texas and a North Sea, which they price their sort of input parity out of, up 1.71%, and I see Sasol down 10.23%, and I think that is a screaming warning. There's something definitely not quite right with the share at the moment, but we know that anyway.
Yes, we do. David, I spoke to another David today, and he's sort of in your age bracket, and you won't mind me saying that, and all he, his name is David Buick, and he's a legendary.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah,
I
exactly. Yeah, well, he's got a bit well of a tough voice. Yeah, but he was talking about what you've been talking about for quite a while now, the interaction that is missing between people, and he lives in Fulham and he works from home, but he just yearns to go out to, you know, to these long lunches and meet people, etc. I mean, you have a listen to it. It's on strictlybusinesspodcast.com, David Buick. He really was very, very good indeed, and he bemoans the fact that he can't get out there and mix with clients, because he says that is still the fundamental premise for investing, getting together with someone and hearing their story, and that's what you're all about.
Well, just listen to when we talk here, you know, how an interchange of ideas helps. You know,
it really does.
And when you're sitting on your own, it's very, very difficult to get input or to get you put into the right direction. You know, have you looked at this? Take a look at this, whatever it is.
Well,
I agree.
Well, Sunim, I mean, well, I don't know about the rest of the group, but the private wealth side, we've started instigating a rotation system. Look, I'm here full time, but the rest of the portfolio managers are doing like a Tuesday and Thursday slot. And I think it's also the ones that have got kids and stuff as well. But I must tell you, as soon as they walk into the boardroom for the morning meeting on like a Tuesday or Thursday, like the whole mood lifts. Everyone's like, you can see this, you can try to see the smiles behind the masks and the Perspex screens. But there's a general lift of energy in the room, and people, I think people are generally social animals, and they've missed the interaction. It's been quite refreshing, actually.
Very good. Now, on Thursday, gentlemen, we'll be talking about two things: the mini budget, the medium term budget, which sort of outlines what's going to happen. Nothing will be put in place, but it'll give you an idea of exactly how the thing is being handled. In other words, the South African economy. But the other thing I want to talk about, and David, I've spoken to Nick about this, we want to sort of expand the Afroc story and the Pioneer Foods story. We want to target companies that could be set aside and bought slowly, that are going to be taken over because they are so cheap and because the rand is so weak. It was 14 at the beginning of the year. It's 16 and a bit now. It was 19 and a bit. Someone can come in and take out several companies, I think. I think there are several candidates. So if you could get two or three candidates, David, and Nick, you do the same, and we'll have a takeover day. What do you think?
Okay, agreed.
All right, that's it, gentlemen. I'm going to go off and watch the UEFA Champions League in an hour or so's time.
Were you trying? Excuse me. Oh, whoa.
Go on.
The Tuesday trade. I mean, the VIX was up 17%.
You went long
yesterday.
Of gold.
Oh, yes, yes. I went long of gold and I got stopped out the round. But tell me about the VIX. Go on, because I'm.
Okay, you basically made me explain the entire breakdown to implied volatility for 20 minutes. And we decided to take a position of, 25, 50, 26?
26.8 was my percentage.
26.8. 32.6 currently trading.
Should I get out of it, Nick, to pay for my rand loss?
Well, it's up 28% in 3 days. So pat yourself on the back. That was a good trade.
Okay, but I'm gonna sell it now. I'll go to IG I'm getting out now. I may re-enter, but yes. Okay. So what is that? 26. Let's call it 27 to 33 for that. 6 divided by 27. How much percentage is that? It's quite a lot, isn't it? 15% or something I've made.
No, man. Although we took a vol points. No, much more than that. So it's currently 32.6, and we got in at 26.8.
With cost 27,
22%.
Not bad at all. I'll take that. Thank you very much. As soon as I put the phone down. Gentlemen, thank you very much. That was the double-headed dream team of the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. Nick will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position,
or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.